Hi, welcome to James Miller Lifeology, where you learn to simplify and transform your spirit, mind, and body. My name is James Miller. I'm a licensed psychotherapist and a composer. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Let's get started. Did you know that on jamesmillerlifeology.com, you can enroll in the academy I created for listeners just like you? I've created courses you may take at your own pace, which will help you simplify and transform your spirit, mind, and body. Enroll in one of the classes today. I have a great show for you today. I'm going to help you recognize and remove mediocrity from your life. I'll also be interviewing Jane Ransom, who reviews her book, Self-Intelligence, The New Science-Based Approach to Reaching Your True Potential. She helps you understand that your brain continually rewires itself to help you move beyond any barrier you may have placed in your life. For more information about Jane, please visit janeransom.com. You may also purchase her book on Amazon or in the previous guests section in the stores at jamesmillerlifeology.com or at lifeology.tv. I have some exciting news. Did you know that I'm on the radio 3 times a week? You may hear me on the same station on Tuesdays at 1:30 p.m., Fridays at 9:30 a.m., and Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. You may also hear me anytime on iHeartRadio as well as on all the other major podcasting platforms, including iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and many others. Simply search for the show name, James Miller Lifeology. Are you struggling today to find your purpose? Has mediocrity set in and you can't imagine doing the same thing for the rest of your life? Are your relationships struggling or you aren't sure how to make long-lasting changes in your life? Then today, contact me, James Miller. I will help you recognize the areas in your life that are going really well, and then we'll look at the areas in which you are struggling. We will create actionable solutions to help you create long-lasting changes in your life. You don't have to do this alone. Go to my website, jamesmillerlifeology.com, and click on the page, Work with James. Fill out the form, and it will be sent directly to me. Don't let another day go by without finding your way. Your change can start today. Once again, go to my website, jamesmillerlifeology.com, and click on the page, Work with James. Fill out that form to get started today. Have you ever said, there's got to be more to life, or I cannot imagine myself doing the same thing over and over? If you've ever asked that, unfortunately, that is a form of mediocrity, and it can be from the biggest thing in your life or to the smallest activities. Conversely, you may say, I've always done it this way, or there's no reason to change something because this is how it's always been. And sure, there's nothing wrong with that, but if you find that you continually do things and you're not enjoying it, well then perhaps that too is a form of mediocrity. And of course, life is not about enjoying everything we do, but it's really about working smarter, not harder. So working smarter, in other words, engaging in activities that help you grow and develop, is much better than doing things just to do it because you've done it before and it's not allowing you to grow and develop. We've all heard that phrase, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, that's actually not true at all. The point is consistency is a key for change. If we want to do something different, and research states that it's about 21 times that people do things and then they stop because they feel they just can't make that change. The reality is, research states that it takes about an average of 66 times to do something before it becomes a habit. So for those of you who ever do New Year's resolutions, it's probably why your resolutions don't typically last is because you simply didn't do it long enough. In everything in our life, it's important to ask ourselves, am I growing and developing? Are you growing and developing your friendships? Are you growing and developing in your finances, in your health and wellness, in your career? When we don't have a clear-cut plan of how we continually grow and develop, unfortunately, we're going to allow life to continually pass us by. Think of a river. Life is like that river. The current is always moving, whether we realize it or not. So we can either choose to swim with that current and go flying down the stream with our self-development, or we can allow it to simply drift us through life. One thing I always have people do is look at a graph of fulfillment, and that's simply creating as many categories as you can think of. And that can be your spirituality, health and wellness, finances, friendships, relationships, vocation, vacations, retirement, hobbies, as many categories as you can think of. So what you'll do is you'll have a horizontal line and a vertical line. On the horizontal line is where you'll write down all of these different categories. And on the vertical line, you'll have a scale of 1 to 10. And you go through each one of those categories and you rate your levels of fulfillment because that will give you a really good snapshot of where you are in your life right now. And then you're able to say, okay, well, let me look at this particular category. What can I do? It gives you great information for you to say, okay, now what am I going to do with this? If I feel like I'm doing the same thing over and over and I'm not growing in this area, well, I need to now do something different. And that goes back to the working smarter, not harder. Just because you've done something for so long does not mean that it's healthy for you or that you're growing and developing. So now the next step, after you look at the different categories that you want to work on, You get to create the actionable steps and measurable steps to implement these strategies to help you raise that number. And then I have people go back maybe in 6 months later and do the same thing again. And you'll see where your life starts to change and develop. The problem is when we don't have these snapshots or create these techniques, which gives us the data of where we're growing and perhaps where we're regressing, unfortunately, we just allow life to just happen and we don't really think about it until perhaps at the new year or when we want to make a big change in our life. So it's a wonderful thing to be able to recognize what is going well, where you're growing and developing, and where you're struggling. Because once you have this awareness, it puts the responsibility back on you to grow and develop. And the great thing is as soon as you have this awareness, you can immediately start to make that change. It's not a change that will happen a year later. Every small little step you take gets closer and closer. Remember, the last person in a race always beats the person on the couch. So one little thing you do is going to move you closer and closer to what you want to do. And also think of this. When you're at a beach, the beach is made up of grains of sand. Think of grains of sand as those small little things that you do to move you closer and closer until you have your own beach. You're closer than you think. It's simply a thought and an action away. So stay tuned. You're going to hear a great interview with Jane Ransom, who's going to talk with you in more depth about how to do this. Her book, Self-Intelligence, is going to really help you reach your highest potential. A quick example of one of the courses you'll find in the Academy entitled Spirit, Mind, Body, The Perfect Triad. This non-religious course helps you understand how your intuition, or rather your gut, your logic, and your body all work together to help you overcome any obstacle you may face. Enroll in the class today. Jane Ransom is a coach, speaker, trainer, and master hypnotist, dedicated optimist, and an incurable science nerd. The esteemed publisher, Quarto Group, recently released her book, Self-Intelligence, The New Science-Based Approach to Reaching Your True Potential. Personal development guru Jack Canfield reports having learned a lot from Jane's book, which he says contains some of the most fascinating information and material you will ever read. Welcome to my show, Jane.
Thank you, James. I'm really, really happy to be here.
I am too. When I read the pitch about the science and the incurable science nerd, I was like, we are going to have so much fun. I can't wait to have her on my show because I'm the same way.
Yay.
Now, you've done so many things. I mean, you were a journalist, you're a professor, you're a master hypnotist. I mean, how did you discover your own true potential?
Wow. I think it's when I got onto this sort of self-help path, mm-hmm. which I hadn't been on before. I'd been a little bit off course, stumbling around. And I had even another life that I think I didn't mention in my bio or whatever, was that in San Francisco, I had a little graphic design business. I know.
You're a person of all trades.
yeah. And so what happened was my dad had died in 2008, early 2008, that's okay. I mean, people die, but he had lung cancer. And before that, both my mother and my stepfather had also been smokers and died of lung cancer. And I was on the internet and I just stumbled across this, the fact that there's scientific research about mm-hmm. hypnosis, mm-hmm. not only that it really works and it's used at, you know, major medical institutions, yes. but that it can help people quit smoking.
Yes,
so,
yes.
So I got my training. I opened a little office in downtown San Francisco. And then as I began helping people, they kept coming back was the problem. and I realized, you know, for various reasons, hypnosis is not always a magic bullet. And sure. I just became a science nerd and I just started, you know, deep diving. I love the internet and began putting together this whole self-intelligence model. And then, of course, I have to use everything I'm sharing and teaching.
I know, right? We have to be our own billboard. Yes.
Yes.
I love it. Now, let's just jump right into your book. So once again, the name of the book is Self-Intelligence, The New Science-Based Approach to Reaching Your True Potential. Many people have heard about emotional intelligence, and some people may have even heard of social intelligence. But why don't you walk us through the steps of that so people understand specifically what self-intelligence means?
Okay. And maybe I'll back up a little because you mentioned emotional intelligence. And mm-hmm. of course, that's a great book. And so is social intelligence.
Yes.
So emotional intelligence, you know, kind of divided the brain or the mind into two, you know, spheres, like the thinking rational mm-hmm. and then the emotional irrational. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a handy way to think about ourselves. And it's helpful to a lot of people. And it's a wonderful book. But it actually in the end, with all the new neuroimaging technology that we have, it doesn't really describe the brain, how the brain actually mm-hmm, functions. Mm-hmm. Really, another description that I find more helpful is between, say, subconscious and conscious brain, for example. And both can be, either one can be rational or mm-hmm. irrational, right? Self-intelligence takes it up to the next sort of scientific level. And then there's a whole chapter on relationships because social intelligence is really important. And, you know, back in the day, I mean, 40 years ago, we didn't know that our relationships, including our friendships, were vital to our well-being, our physical well-being, exactly, everything. Huh? So, you know, so social intelligence is a key part of any umbrella model. And the other key for me is just brain plasticity. You know, the fact that our neurons, our thinking cells, are constantly remapping their mm-hmm. connections with one another. When I was growing up, we were told just the opposite. You know, like when you're an adult, yes. you're done, right? Your personality's done. Your intelligence yes. is done. And nothing could be further from the truth. Yes. It turns out that we can literally reform our own brains. And that's sort of, so knowing that, as you know, has triggered many, many new fields of science exploring, like, okay, now that we know we can change ourselves, what works to change? What can we change and how can we do it? And so for me, it was just time for a bigger, more umbrella model encompassing all those other aspects. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes sense to me. So let me just recap this for my listeners as well. So self-intelligence is just really the overarching aspect of all intelligence per se, from interpersonal to intrapersonal, in other words, within yourself and also externally with other people as well. But it gives that full aspect of the neuroscience that goes along with it, with the interpersonal effectiveness. And so you're just really your version of self, your self-intelligence, because it's your trademark. That is something that is beyond what we've heard before. It encompasses everything.
Yes, it's building on that. It doesn't discount what's come before. And I'll say also, it's including, for example, and I've put it into five parts to make it manageable. I actually mm-hmm. borrowed from one of my clients who says organize by five, like don't go more than five. it kind of moves from inner, the subconscious, to outer, which is the striving self out in the world, you know, goals and getting things done, because most of my clients come to me to accomplish a goal. Yes. But in the middle there too is embodied cognition, you know, that brain body mm-hmm. loop and all that yummy science about how the way we hold our bodies and move our bodies actually affects our thoughts and emotions as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, because it's interesting in psychology and cognitive behavioral therapy, or even rationally motive behavioral therapy, fancy terms for those people who know what it is. It really talks about whatever your thoughts are. In other words, your belief system determines what you feel, determines what you do. So I love your approach as well, which talks about the actual body itself moving backwards and infecting your cognitions and your emotions as well. So I love so many modalities, and this is where my science nerd comes out too. Is that there's what do they say? There's always so many entry points to understand who we are. And so if one entry point works for you, that's great. But the self-intelligence that you're talking about is kind of expands on all of that. So I'm so excited because so many people are going to be able to relate with your book, and they're going to, like we said, be able to reach their truest potential.
Yay. Yeah. I love that too. There are many roads to Rome.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So you broke it down into five things. And so when I was reading about your book, it's not mm-hmm. just all this science data that is thrown in there, because that's a snooze fest for some people. So
totally. Yeah.
For me too, I'm like, oh, I can read like just a little bit and then I'm tired. What's a typical reader of this book?
So I love that question. So there are sort of two typical readers, and I'm trying to, part of the book's purpose is to build a bridge. Mm-hmm. The first typical reader is the self-help reader, say people who read Jack Canfield. He's one of my mentors. And it was working with Jack, I used to get so mad because sometimes his science would be out of date or it would be wrong, you know. But I had to admit that a lot of this, that what he does with people actually works. And I wanted to build that bridge. I thought, I know there's science out there mm-hmm. now that supports things he's been doing for decades.
Yes.
But he doesn't know that. So so the book is written in a super accessible way. And I want to come back to that in terms of stories also, because there's a whole chapter on that. But to capture those readers who really don't have the time and patience to read the deep dive science books. But then on the other hand, you know, there have been all these brain science self-help books coming out for a slightly more intellectual reader. Mm-hmm. Books by Norman Doidge. He's one of my favorites, mm-hmm, yes, you know. Uh-huh. Yeah. But so I also am aiming to reach those people. Now, those books are self-helpy, but they sometimes can turn into brain candy.
Yes.
I know a lot of people that read them and then they feel really smart and then they don't. But, you know, so I'm trying to say, like, I'm trying to reach a hand out to those people and say, look, you got to do something.
Yes. Yes.
So that's kind of the two readers that I'm trying to bring in. And one of the things I mentioned, story. So there's a whole chapter on story. Mm-hmm. And as you probably know, we have even neuroscience now on how story just taps into our brains. We are wired literally for story. Every civilization on the planet, yes, ever known teaches its young and its old through story. And so the book is then based, it is formed through stories. So every chapter includes a juicy story, almost in a mystery format. Like, ooh, here's a problem. How is it going to be solved? You know, with a real person. And so that narrative makes the medicine go down easily. There's the research is deep dive, but there's so much of it. I just put that online and there's a lot of it in there, but it's sprinkled through. So if the reader is not a science geeky person like you and me, they can just zoom over on the story. And then there's quizzes, because as you probably know also, if you test yourself, yes, before you learn something, you will learn it better. And there's cartoons. And so, you know,
my gosh,
it's all
this
fun.
Is like, yeah, this is for everybody. This is great.
Yeah.
I love the part of the mystery, because I remember as a little boy, I'd have to read those little things of the mystery, like who did it? And that was like my favorite thing to read. And I'd always... Well, I like to think I'd figure it out, or sometimes I'd just switch to the back, you know, jump to the back of the book and be like, oh yeah, I figured it out. Yeah. Anyway, that's so funny. Well, coming from a narrative therapy standpoint, so in psychology as well, we have that, the narrative therapy, what we usually use it for. If I have a child who's who's a patient of mine, I will use narrative therapy because, as we know, it removes the lesson that I'm teaching the child directly, because it's just too much. And so to actually read about someone who went through something very similar to my client, what's the lesson you learned? What were the takeaways? What was healthy and what was not healthy? And so I'd love to hear how you do this from in all aspects. So you take the narrative therapy, you obviously have the science behind it. And like you said, and from all cultural standpoints, that was really how history was passed down. So it's intrinsic inside of us.
Yes. And I mentioned narrative psychology. I'm not an expert in it, but I'm thrilled that you use that.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, in fact, before in my earlier shows, my shows actually would have a little story. I don't know. Nice. Some of my listeners who followed me for a while have heard that, and I'd like to get back into that, but one of these days I will. So it would go, the first segment was probably like a 2-minute story, like a parable of some sort. And then I would have my lesson, and then you'd hear how that was all actualized in the interview. And so it was, I enjoyed it. I had some people that would just couldn't wait to hear what my story was. And sometimes we're like, I get letters from people, James, where are the stories? I'm like, oh goodness, I'm sorry. I'll try and bring it back. So yes, narrative therapy is a wonderful, wonderful tool.
It works. And you know, there's some studies, and I mentioned it in the book, we won't dive deep into that, those details now, but show that if you simply present facts and or even a good argument to someone, a logical reason, mm-hmm, why they should change this or that, their brain will naturally push back on it.
Yes.
The critical mind kicks into action. It's much harder for them to really receive that information, even if they believe it factually.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you tell them a story, even if they know it's a made-up story, they are much more likely to be influenced by it on a deep emotional level and thereby more motivated to take action based on that story.
It's funny. I've talked to some friends who've seen some of the superhero movies, and they're like, you know, it just wasn't believable. And I'm like, you do know it's not real, right? But it was just funny. They're like, I'm laughing at that because I literally was just like, crickets were chirping. I'm like, you know, it's not a real movie, right? But yeah, you're right. When you're, I don't know why that tickles me, but that's funny. But it's true. I mean, we are able to really suspend that belief and just walk into that world of creativity. And I think it really comes back from just the childhood aspect as well. When we have that magical thinking, I think when we use that story, the narrative therapy, it unlocks that magical thinking that we had as mm-hmm. children, that everything is possible. And so it really yes. allows for us to, and maybe even, you know, that makes me even think as well, maybe my nerd side's coming out too, but as children, we absorb so much. So maybe that's mm-hmm. kind of the entry point with the narrative therapy, or the stories that you have and all the different things that you do, which mm-hmm. reverts us back to that open space or that open mind that we have as a child to be able to download the information that you're giving us.
I think that's a really wonderful point. And, you know, as adults, we, you know, our frontal lobe becomes so developed, mm-hmm. you know, and that's that operator that's sitting there in charge, and self-discipline and willpower. And I'm totally into self-discipline and willpower. I love that stuff. But the problem with the overdeveloped frontal lobe, as you know, is that it starts wanting to order everybody around in mm-hmm. the brain. And so we, you know, that creativity, that's why, like, one of my chapters, for example, is on dreaming. And so many scientific and mathematical breakthroughs and artistic have been achieved by people programming their dreams. Like the table, the periodic table.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
And so, and the reason why now we finally know, because now with brain imaging technology, which is what helped us discover this brain plasticity in the first place. Now we can look in and see, oh my gosh, what's happening when we dream is that frontal lobe is turning off its sensors. Mm-hmm. You know, the bouncer at the door is going home, everybody can party, and all our creativity can come out. And that's sort of what you're talking about too, that magical thinking has room then.
Yes.
And it is, in my opinion, just as real. When we get too attached to what we know, we lose sight of the fact that we don't know what we don't know.
Exactly. Well, it's so funny. Did you know in the English language, which you may know this or not, the word belief, the antonym for that, in other words, opposite word of belief, is actually truth. And so the belief systems that we have, when you think of it from the English dictionary, it really tells us that it's flawed. And the majority of the time, it's because we don't have enough perspective. We don't know what we don't know. So if we come with something and say, this is right, this is true, this is my belief from, like I said, from the dictionary standpoint, that's actually not true. So it's really interesting as a word. I guess I'm like a wordsmith here, but I really love that analogy, or that truth really is that the opposite of belief is truth.
Oh, I didn't know that. I love that.
That's really cool.
You know, as soon as we're done, I'm going to be like Googling.
I know, right? Well, I can't take credit for it. I had an amazing guest on my show, Dr. Jacob Lieberman, who will be on my show again. He told me that his is all about the color spectrums, how it affects our body. So I should probably connect you guys together. He's a fantastic person. Anyway, but yeah, so I can't take credit for that one. So I learned that as well. So it's really neat. We only have a few more minutes, but I wanted to hear what are some of the personal reviews that you're from your readers?
One of my readers compared me to Brené Brown and Louise Hay.
Wow.
She's not as scientific as I am. But it was, and so that review kind of came in early and surprised me, because I thought, I'm not at all like Louise Hay, even though I think she's wonderful.
Yeah, she's,
But then I realized, what a compliment, mm-hmm. because what they're saying is that I'm kind and gentle, because I worry, because I get so geeky, you know. And sometimes friends have like pointed out, like, you know, soften up a little bit. And like, oh. So I was really happy that was their experience, that they felt this kind of loving tone in the book.
Oh, that's great. That's a wonderful compliment. Yeah.
Yes. I'm very thrilled by that. And of course, Brené Brown is amazing. So that was like, oh my gosh, thank you.
That is wonderful. So unfortunately, our time is up. We could talk about this all day. If my listeners would like to find out information about you, obviously purchase this amazing book. And one more time, it's Self-Intelligence, a New Science-Based Approach to Reaching Your True Potential. Where would they find all this information online?
Well, they can find the book at any bookstore online, you know, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Indigo, is it called, or all those places. But they can also find me, plus the links to all those places, at Jane Ransom. That's just Jane, JaneRansom.com. Everything's there. And if they go to the book page, they can even find a free little course on self-hypnosis, which is really pretty good.
Yeah, that's great. So what I'm going to do as well, my listeners know this, is I'm going to put your book, one more time, Self-Intelligence, the New Science-Based Approach to Reaching Your True Potential, in the store under the previous guest's products, either at jamesmillerlifeology.com or my alternate site, lifeology.tv. Jane, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on my show. You definitely need to come back. We have so much more to talk about.
Oh, I would love to. This was fun. Thank you, James.
I also want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in today. Please subscribe to this radio show through whichever portal you joined with us today, or please go to my website where you may sign up for my free newsletter, watch my YouTube episodes, read the articles I've written specifically for you, or you may enroll in the Lifeology Academy where you can take self-directed courses which will help you simplify and transform your spirit, mind, and body. If you'd like to personally work with me, be a guest on, or advertise in this show, simply visit jamesmillerlifeology.com. Be sure to follow me on all social media platforms under the name James Miller Lifeology, except for Twitter, which is James M. Lifeology. Once again, thank you so much for your support, and I'll talk to you soon.